the same time, among other issues, the most important issue and threat to global security, in my opinion, is the revisionist countries, revisionist powers. Instead of working to further international law and order and prosperity, trade, and peace, these countries have great potential to disturb peace, to violate and to degrade international law, try to revise borders and have those revisionist tendencies and create animosities and hostilities between whole societies, whole countries. So I would say that an example of such thing would be Russia's invasion of Georgia, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and many other interventions, and the slide towards totalitarian sort of dictatorship style rule. In that light, beseeding of democracy, sort of this encroachment by the totalitarian or authoritarian regimes, and their revisionist stand is probably one of the key, one of the most dangerous issues out there, because they can destabilize the situation a great deal. They can even provoke a great conflict that may result in loss of millions of lives or another global conflict, because there is this tendency to think that the history ended, it's over, you know, there was this World War II, and that's it, no more globalization, peace and love and democracy. Unfortunately, human history teaches us that global conflict is a daunting reality. It's a recurring issue, but we have to make sure we do everything that we can to contain revisionism, to contain the rise of authoritarianism in the world, and to further prosperity, peace, and democracy, to further stability. And we have to stand strong on international law so that it stands and doesn't disintegrate, so that the world doesn't turn to a place of havoc and destruction on the scale of, you know, big powers fighting each other and causing another global conflict.
In terms of the issues associated with some of the cases that have been dealt with by the international court, what policies and what changes do you think should be further implemented by the government and by the court itself?
If we speak about Canadian government, well, we have to say that international court can achieve a great deal of success if the countries they're dealing with cooperate. If they don't, what can you do besides making statements and asking them to do something they don't want to comply with? As a country, certainly we can't rush and send our troops everywhere where we think human rights need to be defended, for instance. We can't go to wars with countries that violate human rights and commit grave violations and crimes against humanity. At the same time, we shouldn't jump into another extreme where we become complacent with everything that a lot of authoritarian regimes do just because it is more comfortable, you know. Some people like to think that, you know, why to confront someone we have trade with them? Or why should we raise this human rights issue? If we do so, our trade relations will be hurt. If we raise this question, we will be losing something. So it's happening to someone else. Why should we bother? I think it's a very wrong approach. It's a mistaken approach. Why? Because if we don't keep raising those questions in the world, if we don't stand by our moral values, and I'm not saying go there and do it with your military hardware, if we don't at least raise our voice, if we don't at least honestly go and say, you know, what you're doing is wrong, we disagree with this, eventually it's going to come to us. It's essentially, we know what happened with Nazi Germany in 1930s, leading to the Second World War. If you appease a dictator, if you appease someone who's committing horrible crimes against humanity, eventually you will have to confront that actor on your own. So instead of doing this, we should always point out, as a country, what Canada can do. Point out our disagreement. We should always highlight that we have values and we cannot accept things like genocide or mass murder of people or minorities and executions and persecutions of people. We should show where we stand. We shouldn't be afraid that our relations will be hurt by that. In many cases, authoritarian regimes are just bluffing and they will not go any further because they need those trade relations too. In fact, the more we push the idea that democracy and human rights should be respected, the more they will think about respecting them for the sake of keeping our trade relations. We shouldn't be pushed around and bullied into silence. If we act like this in the international stage, we will end up being surrounded by more enemies and more threat to our security. So I think the most important thing we can do is to speak out. That's the least we could do, and that's what we must do. We can't fall below.
Having a voice is extremely powerful. Using it responsibly is not only essential, but a requirement in order to, like you said, to prevent some of these individuals from continuing to progress and to advance as time goes on. So I think it's not only a responsibility, but if you become too comfortable with the way things are and you become complacent, like you said, then no changes will happen. Even if you have a voice and you clearly state what your concerns are, that's better than doing nothing.
Absolutely, because don't forget that, well, it's actually a good thing if just no changes will happen, because most likely if you stay quiet, changes will happen and they will be bad changes. One day you will wake up surrounded by more enemies and more people who hate your ways of life and hate your freedoms and so on. Why so? Because the people who fight freedom, who hate democracy, who would like to reverse the progress of international law and stability and prosperity, they're not sitting idle. They're working very hard. They're devoting a lot of resources, a lot of money into media, propaganda tools that are working very hard in demonizing the West and embellishing authoritarian regimes. And to be honest, it does work when you do absolutely nothing. What we need to do is we need to confront them. We need to shed light to issues. It's something like I may be wrong quoting the exact words, but it's like a vampire test. You know, the vampires don't like sunlight, and truth is the sunlight. So we need to shed that light and to fight abuse, to fight lies, to fight hatred and propaganda that deserves humanity's interest. We need to devote resources to telling the world who we are, to explaining what our values are, because the enemies of democracy and freedom, they don't sit just idle there.
I think another relevant issue consists of bias in the media. Oftentimes when people watch what's happening around the world, it's very easy to assume that just because an issue is not being reported on, that it no longer exists.
Yes.
I think it's a responsibility for today's youth, for everyone, to not only listen to what's happening around the world, but to read and to read carefully and to ask questions as to who, what, where, when, why, who's reporting this? Do they have a motive?
Yes.
And then to compare and to look at various sources that are out there. Don't make the mistake of assuming that just because an issue that was reported on a couple weeks ago and is no longer being reported on right now, don't make the mistake of assuming that that issue has been resolved or that it's no longer relevant due to not obtaining that airtime or that news
media
frenzy,
spotlight.
That media spotlight.
Exactly.
So I think that with oftentimes people who understand journalism, but even individuals who have knowledge about how the media works, you don't necessarily have to have a degree in journalism to understand that there will always be, in certain cases, if you watch certain type of news, there you will see the bias. Just question what it is you're watching and question whether it's being reported on the way that it should be.
Absolutely. I agree with you.